Thanks, Tim. A lot going on, as always. Last week, I mentioned about the Thanksgiving, but there is a sign-up. You know, Tim was just talking about there's a sign-up sheet for volunteers any of those days, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, out in the lobby. So that just helps everybody know who can be here. And just to clarify what Linda said, if you give electronically, you want to do something towards Samaritan's Purse, because we're not doing Operation Christmas Child, but this is another way to support that ministry. You can, if you give electronically, just do it as foreign missions. If you put a check in the box, just say Samaritan's Purse. I hope that makes sense. So it's time change. You know, we set our clocks back, last night, hopefully. Did anybody forget? Oh, yeah. Lori did. She came down this morning. I thought it was an hour earlier than normal. I said, did you? And anyway, so sorry I didn't remind you. But anyways, you know, and there's such a thing now. Everybody's grumbling about the time change. And I'm not really sure what that's about. I mean, I get it. It's a little bit inconvenient for a couple of days. And especially, you know, if you have small children. It's hard on babies, you know, throws their schedule off, and it throws some adult schedules off as well. But nonetheless, you know, here's what happens. If we don't turn it back and we stay on standard time, then you've got, in the summertime, the sun's coming up at 4:30 in the morning, right? And if you stay on daylight savings time, then in December, his sunrise is at 8:30 in the morning, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I know it has some inconveniences, but I think it's a good thing. Anyways, it's about the best we can do the way things are. So this morning, I want to share a message with you, and I have a prop here. I scared the worship team this morning because I had this hidden up here, and they came in this morning and thought, Kenny comes back and he says, Tim, I found this in the kids were kids like playing in the sanctuary and throwing the football around in here. And I said, no, it's just a prop. It's just a prop that I wanted to use this morning. So, the year was 19, whoa, I almost dropped it. I found this in my garage. I didn't even know I still had one. And so I cleaned it off, but I cleaned it off with like car stuff. So it's like really slippery. It's like silicone. So, hope the Bills don't use this one today. Anyways, so the year was 1959, and Vince Lombardi became the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He was 45 years old. It was his first head coaching job in the NFL, and he took over a team that was in really rough shape. The Packers were one of the worst teams in the league. They had won two games the year before. Morale was pretty low, and expectations were probably lower. And so the first preseason meeting, this first-time head coach in the NFL, he's having a team meeting, and he stands before his team, and he holds out a football, and he's quiet for a few seconds. And I don't know, some of you may know, it's one of the most famous lines in the history of football. He said, I have it up on the screen too. He said, gentlemen, this is a football. Gentlemen, this is a football. And his point was, I mean, these are young men that have been playing this game since they were kids, and it wasn't an issue of talent. It was an issue of that they had forgotten the basics. And so he was about that. You know, we're going to get back to the basics, and we're going to learn again or relearn how to play this game. Sometimes I think in the body of Christ, we need our own version of that. We just need a reminder of the basics of the faith. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. I say this, and I say it a little cautiously because people might get a little bit the nose bent out of shape, but sometimes the body of Christ is a real mess. Now, I'm not just saying, you know, I'm not just looking, you know, inwardly at our own fellowship, I'm not excluding, you know, saying we're somehow separated from all that, but the body of Christ, you know, as Tim Archer says, the Big C Church, sometimes the people of God, it can be a real mess. And a lot of that is because we forget the basics. We forget just the basic things of what it means to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. So I was, I don't know if any, I love church history. I wouldn't say I'm a great church historian, but I spent a good amount of time reading about it and taking some classes about it. Sometimes I'm just aghast. How did God ever use these people? Right? Oh my goodness. You know, the history, and even, the Lord helped me. A few weeks ago, when some of this was going through my mind, I was, my daily Bible reading had me in the book of Jeremiah. And I realized that way back then, the people of God were in a real mess. They were backslidden. They were full of idolatry. There were problems everywhere. And you don't have to look far. I'm just using the book of Jeremiah as an example. And it dawned on me that that's kind of the way it's been throughout history. And I don't say that to give us a pass. I don't say that to be fatalistic or say that we shouldn't aspire to live to the standard that God has called us to. By all means, we should be aspiring to live to that standard that God has called us to. His standard of holiness, his standard of righteousness. I'm just making an observation. And what my experience, and limited though it might be, you know, just what I've seen over the years in the church. And I was also thinking about, even in the New Testament, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. And I was thinking about specifically the church at Corinth. Because the congregation at Corinth, I mean, all the churches had their issues, but the congregation at Corinth had some real issues. Now, mind you, this is the first century church. This is the church that we aspire to be. This is when it was pure. This is when it was perfect. Not, right? And so the Apostle Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, he spends an inordinate amount of time dealing with problems in the church. There was carnality. There was immorality. There was division. There was dissension. There was misuse of the spiritual gifts. And Paul had to deal with all that stuff. That church had a good foundation. Paul planted that church in the first century. And yet, they had some problems. And I wonder sometimes if Paul's just like, guys, do you remember who you are? We're sons and daughters of the living God. Do you understand what it means to be a Christian? Sometimes we need to take a back-to-basics approach, kind of our own version of, gentlemen, this is a football. And I know that a lot of times people want to hear new revelation and you know, want to be stirred that way. And I'm, you know, when I feel like God's given me some new revelation, not that there's anything totally new, but God gives me a new insight into something in his word, you know, I'm excited. I love sharing that. But my heart today is about the basics. I had the opportunity just a little over a month ago to meet a man, I think I've mentioned him before, Doug Stringer is his name. I had not heard of him up until just a few months ago, but he's a significant Christian leader and has done a lot of ministry. I got a yeah from Aisha. And so I had an opportunity to have a couple conversations with him when I was at this conference in Rochester. Really liked the guy. And so I picked up his newest book, and it's called Leadership Awakening. And so I was reading through this book, and as is often the case, things that are written toward leaders really are applicable for everybody, right? It's like 1 Timothy 3, where Paul's given the you know, qualifications for eldership and such. Those things apply to everybody. You know, it's just so, okay, if you're going to be an elder, then you've got to have these things pretty well figured out, you know? But it's the goal for all of us. you know? So the same thing with leadership. So he has a quote, Doug Stringer has a quote in that book, and he said that, I love this. He says, I have rarely seen a leader fall because of failing to grasp some deep theological treatise. The reason leaders stumble along the way is not because they don't understand Hebrew or Greek, nor do they get off track because they misinterpret the book of Revelation. Neither do they get off track because they misinterpret the book of Revelation or some other prophetic passage in God's word. In many cases, leaders get into trouble because they neglect the fundamental truths and basic spiritual disciplines. Boom. Right? And I could adjust that instead of saying leaders. In many cases, Christians get into trouble because they neglect the fundamental truths and the basic spiritual disciplines. William Booth, some of you have probably heard of him. He's the founder of the Salvation Army. And over 100 years ago, he said this. He said, I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, this is an interesting one, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Prophetic. I want to talk for a few moments about our public lives versus our private lives. Our public lives versus our private lives. I think you've all seen images like this. That's an iceberg. And I want to use a couple of thoughts I want to, you know, use this illustration for. And the first is the most obvious. What you see above the surface of the water is your public persona, right? This is what everybody sees when they see you at church, or they see you at work, or they see you around town. But your public persona is just a fraction of who you are, right? That's just what people see. 90% plus of our lives is our private lives. And I'm not just, you know, mean when we're alone, but I'm talking just what's going on inwardly. Sometimes, yes, I'm talking about when we're alone, but even when we're out in public and with other people or in church, there's still a huge amount of us, a huge part of us that people aren't seeing. Maybe they see some things coming through, but there's a lot going on inside of us. The things that go on in our mind and in our heart. How, you know, who we are when no one's looking, the things going on inside of us, how we pursue God 7 days a week. All those things are what is below the surface and yet really says who we are. And even when you're in public, like I said, there's a whole lot that's going on underneath the surface. And there's a whole lot, even probably this morning as you're sitting here, going on in your minds that obviously other people have no idea. And that's just the reality of life, the public versus the private. There's a passage in Ezekiel chapter 8, and I'll read it, and then I'll explain it. It's in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. Then he said to me, this is God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols. So God gives Ezekiel this vision, and in this vision, he tells him, he's in the courts, he's in the outer courts of the temple, and he says, I want you to dig a hole through the wall into the holy place. Again, this is happening in a vision. And you know, burrow through, dig through the wall and go in and look in the holy place. And when Ezekiel did that, he saw the elders of Israel and he saw idols all over the wall, and they were doing all kinds of abominable things. You know, the elders of Israel. And he said, do you see what every man is doing in the room of his idols? I like the King James version of this. It says, then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. And I remember first reading it, you know, when I was a young Christian, reading it from that translation from the King James, and the chambers of his imagery. And you know what that spoke to me? I mean, I think the idea of, you know, the room of his eyes, you know, it's all true, it's all accurate, but it immediately spoke to me of our minds, the chambers of our imagery, what goes on in our minds, right? And that is where the battle is, right? That is where the battle lies. It's within our minds, the chambers of our imagery. Make no mistake about it. So again, gentlemen, you know, Vince Lombardi, you know, this is a football. We need to pay attention to the, and I'll say it in quotes because it's not really the right way to say it, but I'll say it anyways. We need to pay attention to the small things because they're not really small, right? That's the point of it. They're extremely important and they represent who we really are. And if those things aren't right, we're headed for disaster. We're headed for an iceberg, I guess, you know, you could look at it that way, and using that analogy a little bit different. But actually, I do want to say one more thing about that. Let me go back to that iceberg. There's another way that I just want to just say something about that. You know, yes, that I was using the analogy to say what's on the surface, what people see versus what people don't see, and what people don't see is so much more. Well, that's true when you're interacting with another person. And sometimes we jump to conclusions about what, you know, is going on in a person's life, or, you know, because we see a certain thing in them or we hear them say a certain thing. And we just have to be careful. We're not jumping to conclusions when we're interacting with other people, because there's a whole lot going on in their lives that you don't see. Right? You know, sometimes, hey, that person didn't say hi to me or something like, well, you don't know. There's a whole lot going on in their lives that we don't see. And again, I'm not trying to give people a pass. We need to do the right thing and such like that. I'm just saying, you know, this is a kind of an aside, just a little bit of an aside from where I'm going today. So I'm just trying basically to emphasize the importance of the basics, the foundations of our lives. That's really at the heart of the message. And going back again to what Doug Stringer said, the reason why people go off the rails most of the time is because it's not because of some huge thing, but it can become a huge issue, right? It's usually little things, and I say little, and that's not really the right way to say it, but they're seemingly insignificant things that can lead us astray, and then they become huge issues. And when you see someone fall, or you see someone turn away, or someone walk away, you know, from Christ, whatever, you know, it usually started in some small kind of thing and then blew up into something much bigger. So we've got to be faithful in the small things. How many have seen this verse before? Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, from the Song of Solomon. You know, that's a phrase. People don't even know it comes from the Bible. A little foxes spoil the vines, sort of thing. So I was thinking a lot about the little foxes that kind of mess up our lives. And some of those things, what are some of those things? Neglecting some of those basic things, because again, they're not little things. We need to always maintain a strong foundation in our faith. And, you know, some might say, well, I have a firm foundation. I've been in the Lord for a long time. I know the word. I've got experience in the things of the Lord. And that's all wonderful. But the truth is, our foundation in our faith is not a static thing. It's not something that just, you know, you arrive and you say, good, I've got a good foundation. Everything's you know, just the way it should be. There is always a deeper place to go in Jesus. There's always a deeper place. There's always a strengthening of our foundation. And the moment we get to that place in our lives where we say, oh, the foundation's all there, and we don't think anymore about strengthening it, making the roots go down deeper and making that foundation stronger, it's going to start to crumble. And we're going to end up in trouble. We have to be very, very careful. Our foundation is not static. So I was thinking of some of the little foxes. So I'll put up a few. There we go. laziness. Let me just start with something that, and I understand people go through things. I see, you know, people, sometimes it's sickness or whatever, you know, and I understand all that. But I'm talking about, you know, just sometimes being spiritually lazy and not staying in the Word, not staying in prayer, not doing the things that we know we need to be doing, not daily renewing our relationship with God. Not that you're born again every day over and over and over again, but you just have to keep daily, regularly renewing that relationship and not letting it get stale. Whatever you feed will become stronger. If you feed your flesh will be stronger. If you feed your spirit will be stronger. It's a very, very simple equation. A couple of quotes. Have a few quotes in this message. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, great hero of the faith. He said, when all is said and done, the life of faith is nothing if not an unending struggle of the spirit with every available weapon against the flesh. If you're not utilizing every available weapon against the flesh, you're in trouble. Because it is a battle. Go back to Doug Stringer again, one more from him. He said, we must devote ourselves to the foundational discipline. And again, he's writing this book to leaders, to people who've been in the faith, who've been walking, who've been serving, who've been in ministry. And he said, we must devote ourselves to the foundational disciplines of prayer, worship, studying God's word, sacrificial giving, and always putting God's kingdom interests above our own. This is stuff we just can't walk away from. Leonard Ravenhill, he had a way with words. He could cut you up pretty good. Leonard Ravenhill said, no man is greater than his prayer life. Man or woman, of course. No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears and few tears. Much fashion, but little passion. Many interferers and few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. So sometimes it's just a matter of living out the spiritual disciplines. And I say this, I should have put it in quotes. Again, I've used this phrase little a number of times. What we perceive to be little sins. Everybody gossips once in a while. Everybody tells an off-color joke, you know, here and there. Everybody gets angry sometimes. And we just give ourselves a pass on those things. And it costs us. The little fox of carelessness. Not being careful about the things that we allow into our lives. Sometimes the longer we are in the Lord, sometimes people start to allow more and more things into their lives that they wouldn't have thought about doing in the past. Ecclesiastes 10:1, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor, and so does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Just a few little flies in the, you know, you've heard that phrase too, right? People don't know it's from the Bible, you know, the fly in the ointment. It gives off a foul odor, and so does a little folly to those who are respected for wisdom and honor, or to anyone, actually. The little fox of an untamed tongue, right? So I'll just read what James says, you know, that famous chapter, James chapter 3, just a couple of verses, beginning in verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and is set on fire, the course of nature, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Amen. The tongue is sometimes used to spread malicious things. It's so destructive, especially in the body of Christ. I like this verse, if it comes up there. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Why is it that some people want to keep the fire burning? But there's another way that we can mess up in the area of, I skipped over. I want to talk about relationships. That's the next thing I want to talk about just for a second. This is the last one. We'll be closing here in just a couple minutes. How we mishandle relationships can be a snare. Sometimes we use poor judgment. And I know that we're called to reach people, we're called to reach out, and I get all that. That's a huge part of our faith. But sometimes we use poor judgment in the relationships we enter into. And I have used this verse a million times. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You've got to think about the relationships you're in. I'm talking about relationships that you're in for the sake of building you up and strengthening you in your faith and helping you in your faith. I'm not talking about relationships of reaching coworkers, friends, and such for Christ. I'm talking about what you're doing to strengthen your life and your walk with God. Evil company corrupts good habits. So don't use poor judgment, you know, when it comes to relationships. Use good judgment. There's another way we mishandle relationships, and that's by not having strong Christian relationships, kind of the other side of this coin. We're not properly associating with others who can help us in the faith, and we live in an isolated life and make ourselves a particularly easy target of the enemy. In so many ways, we are a product of the relationships that we choose to pursue and the people we choose to interact with. There's an interesting story. I'm just going to read a verse from Judges. It says, and this is talking about the city of Laish. And in the city of Laish, and I don't know the whole geography of it, but I've read this many times. It was a city that was kind of separated from all the other cities. And whether that was good or bad or whatever, the reality was when they were attacked, they had no one to defend them. They had no one to come help them because, and the scripture says there was no deliverer because it was so far, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. So when the enemy came to the city of Laish, because they didn't have connections with other people around them, they were destroyed. And I thought that's a great analogy about our relationships. When we are not properly aligned and associated with others and connected with others, we are an easy target for the enemy. So we need to have good, strong relationships. Lone Ranger Christians never do well. They never do well. Are you thinking about that one? Lone Ranger Christians never do well. And you may think you're the exception. Like everybody thinks they're the exception about winning the lottery. Oh, that $2 billion, right? It's up to $2 billion now. Right? That won't change me a bit, right? I'm the exception, right? We always think we're the exception that, you know, people, I can be the Lone Ranger and it's not going to hurt me. It's not going to affect my walk with the Lord. Well, you know, if you know better than God, go after it, right? One more quote. I give Doug Stringer one more. I've been reading this book, so it's a lot on my mind. He said, the kingdom of God is built on relationships. I love that. I've kind of lived by that, tried to live by that, and have said that many, many times over the years. The kingdom of God is built on relationships. While it begins with our relationship with the Lord, he directs us into alignments, associations, and agreements with other people. So important. And then he says, relationships define our destiny, and our degree of influence is determined by the strength of those relationships. Very, very important. So there's just some little foxes that spoil the vine. Just simple things that we have to attend to and pay attention. And I want to close here. I want to talk about finishing well and being consistent. And I know if you're young, you know, the idea of finishing may not be on your mind. You know, the older I get, and I'm not trying to say I'm the Ancient of Days or anything, but you know, just like all of us, you know, the older you get, you start thinking more about the finish line. It's hard. I mean, I ran some marathons when I was a little younger. At least you knew where the finish line was, you know. In life, you don't really know where the finish line is, you know, so that always makes it a little bit of a challenge. But life is a marathon, nonetheless. And I think a lot about finishing well. It is not good enough to be ahead at the end of the third quarter, right? It's not good enough to be ahead in the eighth inning, right? The Astros won the World Series last night, I heard. It's not good enough to be ahead if you're not ahead at the end. You know, so I'm talking about the importance of finishing, about finishing strong. Paul said this, and I quote this many times in my life, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Whew! I think about that, and I try to be attentive to that. If Paul had a concern in his life that he could become disqualified, then who do we think we are to think we couldn't? Can you imagine spending your whole life and serving God and then disqualify yourself? And I, you know, there's a lot we could, what does that mean? And does that mean it's, you're beyond restoration? No, it doesn't mean that. But there's a point in time where your influence and everything that you've tried to build and be consistent with over the years can be lost in just a moment. And how tragic to maintain spiritual fervor and then stumble at the end, stumble before the finish line. So we've got to finish well. We've got to finish strong. And there is no, my last point, there is no substitute for consistency. Consistency. What any of us may feel like we lack in spiritual gifts, we can make up for it in consistency. Right? I sometimes, should I confess this? Sometimes I get envious, you know, of other, you know, oh man, that pastor, he's so gifted at this or that or whatever. And you feel like, oh, I don't have that gift or whatever. Maybe you do and you just haven't exercised it or whatever. But some, you know, nobody has all, right? That's what we need the body because nobody has it all, right? But sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I wish I had that gift. Well, whatever we lack in spiritual gifts, we can make up for in consistency. And I take that to heart and I try to live that out and I trust you do too. John Maxwell, some of you know who he is. He was a pastor for many years and he's a highly sought after speaker. And he's kind of branched out. He pastored a big mega church in San Diego for many, many years. I actually met and know the pastor that succeeded him, Jim Garlow. Met him a few times and a wonderful man. But John Maxwell, he's, like I say, well sought after speaker and he's, I don't know, some people might say, oh, he's gotten away from his gift, you know, he's such a good pastor or whatever, but he speaks to business leaders. He does all, you know, he's a quote motivational speaker. And I know sometimes, you know, maybe that, oh, maybe it's not, you know, getting away from his call or I don't know, you know, I trust that he's doing what God wants him to do. But so he speaks around all, I don't know, I haven't heard his name as much recently, but in years past, he was everywhere. And he said this, because he's the kind of guy, if you've heard him, and I've heard him in person, he is very motivational. You know, he can get you really inspired and really stirred up. And he said this, I love this. He said, "I'm still a big believer in motivation. Everyone wants to be encouraged. Everyone enjoys being inspired. But here's the truth when it comes to personal growth. Motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing." That's a good word. You can get motivated, you can get stirred, you know, you can get stirred, you hear a sermon on Sunday morning, I hope it stirs you up or whatever, I hope it motivates you, but it is discipline that's going to keep you growing. It's being attentive to the small things, being attentive to the foundational issues of the faith. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been in the Lord. If you start to think that you're beyond those things, you are in trouble. You're headed for trouble. Motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing. He goes on and says, that's the law of consistency. I don't know if you've ever read any of Maxwell's stuff, the 15 irrefutable laws of this and the 12 irrefutable laws of these. There are a whole bunch of books on. And one, and this one apparently came out of that, book where, and he was talking, a book where he was mentioning the law of consistency. Now you're talking my language. I love it. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how many opportunities you receive. If you want to grow, consistency is the key. Consistency is the key. I've said it a few times recently. Long obedience. Long obedience. Staying faithful, keeping your hand to the plow. So as we close, I'm going to ask you to stand. And just before, as we go to the Lord, just ask you some simple questions. I kind of tried to sum this up a little bit. Are you still growing? I don't care how many years and how many decades you've been in the Lord. Are you still growing? I'm not talking about treading water and just keeping your head above the surface. I'm talking about growing. There's never, ever a time in this life where you should not be growing in the faith. No matter how many years you've served Him, no matter how much of the Bible you've memorized, no matter how much you've done, never, ever, ever stop growing. Because as soon as you do, you're going to stagnate and you're going to start to fall back and just bad things are going to happen. Are you still moving forward in Christ? Are you taking care of the basic things of life? And I'll just read this scripture from the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, Matthew 7:24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Foundations are so important, and we always, always have to be making sure that ours are strong and stay strong, are getting stronger every single day. Father, it's really not complicated. I'm not saying it's easy. People have said many times the Christian life is simple, which is not, again, analogous always to easy, but it is simple. It's simple to understand. A child, you don't need a doctorate in divinity to be able to understand the Word of God and to be able to understand how to live this Christian life. God, I pray for each of us that we would take heed to the important things of our the foundations of our life, those, quote, little foxes that spoil the vine, that we would be so attentive, God, to the kinds of things that the enemy is very subtle. He's very subtle, and he knows how to draw us away in seemingly innocent and seemingly benign things. The enemy can begin to turn our hearts and turn our hearts away from you. And the fire begins to go out and the fire begins to dwindle. God, I pray for a stirring up. Tim talked about it earlier in the service about the fire of God and just stirring that within us. Scripture talks about stirring up the gifts that are in us and just a continual stirring, God, that we would be like a sharp, I'm trying to think of what the scripture says. It talks about when the axe is dull, you know, it doesn't cut well. It takes more effort. But so we got to keep the edge sharp in our lives, God. And that's a daily focus on the things that we all know. I think everybody here probably knows what those things are. And if there's in any way that we've let those slip or are letting our hearts get a little bit cold or turned away or lukewarm toward those things, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken that to us today, that you would just reignite, God, in us a passion for you, that daily we'd be going after you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love you, God, and we thank you. And we want to finish this race well and be consistent and so that others can see the reality of the risen Christ through us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Anybody want to catch a football? I'll throw you the football. God bless you. You're dismissed.